Telecom has no less than 15,000 employees working in flexible ways within the company, and most are carers. BT's Director People and Policy is Carolyn Waters. On a recent trip to New Zealand, Carolyn spoke to carers about the huge benefits flexible working brings to employers, to carers, the government and to the country. She started by explaining what exactly flexible working can look like.
Flexible working takes many forms. Home-based working is the one that most people understand, and that's where a worker does all of their work at home. They don't have a desk at their employer's premises, but they work from their home. Now, there's also occasional home-based working, which means that an individual might spend some of their time at home, some of their time on their employer's premises, or even some time with a client. Then there are things like time banking, compressed hours, annualised hours. There are as many forms of flexible working as there are people.
It sounds a bit different, time banking and annualised hours.
It's really quite simple. The premise is that you are paid to do a certain number of hours. But how you do those hours and when you do them can be flexed. So in annualised hours, for example, what you're doing is you're working the normal span of hours that you would work in any one year. But perhaps if you're a mum, you're not working during the school holidays, or you're working very short days during the school holidays. And if you're a carer, if you're caring for someone who has a regular regime of hospital appointments and things, perhaps you're not working on those days, so you can get that sense of being able to plan over a period ahead. Now, it might be something like time banking, where you know that there is something coming up, so you work a few long hours, you work a few long days, and then perhaps over the following fortnight or the following month, you work less hours to compensate. So there are lots and lots of forms depending on what you need to do and what your business needs, because at the end of the day, you still have to do the job, you still have to deliver.
Now, BT is really a champion of this kind of flexible working. You have some pretty impressive statistics of the number of your employees doing it. Can you tell us just a quick outline of how BT operates with that flexible working?
Yeah, the way BT operates flexible working is that we made a decision very early on that we wanted it to be available to all of our employees, absolutely every single one of them. So what we did is we made the right to request flexible working available to everyone. We decided it should be reason neutral. Now, what we mean by that is that I don't have to tell BT my reason for wanting to work flexibly. I have a really good relationship with my manager, so actually I'd be quite happy to do that. But if I don't want to, if I'm uncomfortable, all I need to say is I want to work flexibly. This is the proposal I have, and it's operationally possible because. So this is how I would continue to deliver. This is the way it would affect my colleagues and my customers. And then the line manager is making the decision that they're qualified to make. They're making a decision on whether that request is operationally viable. And they're not trying to make those terrible value judgments about whether my need to work flexibly is greater because I have to care for my elderly mum. Your need to work is greater because you're caring for young children, or somebody who needs to work flexibly because they're training for the Paralympics. You know, we don't want people to have to make those value judgments. They need to make the judgments that they are trained for as a line manager, and that is, will I be able to do the job? Will it continue to serve my customers?
On the surface, that would seem to be easy to do for a large company where there's a lot more give and take. New Zealand regulation of small businesses. Does that make it much more challenging, or does it make it impossible?
Small businesses actually get quite a bad press on flexible working. Actually, they don't have the fancy labels that large businesses like BT have, but they do have an absolutely organic understanding of flexible working. And in a large business, there is a hierarchy, so you have to have processes and consistency. In a small business, there is no gap between the decision maker and the implementer. So what we found is that if you look at the UK model, where the vast majority of the UK workforce works for a small organisation of usually 10 or less people, their flexible working is endemic tech doesn't have that label, but there is absolute flexibility around people knowing their workers, knowing that they're good people who work hard, and therefore being very comfortable with them coming in a little bit late this day or going a little bit early that day, because they really want to keep those workers. And whilst they might not call that flexible working, it absolutely is, and they're very good at it.
You spoke of there being sort of some myths or some almost like instantly perceived barriers to flexible working. Could you briefly outline what they are?
The myths around flexible working are just really sort of related to human nature, really. For line managers, it can be quite threatening, actually, because they feel that they have a sense of control if they can see their people, and they feel that it's easier if they can, if something urgent comes up, they can just pop out of the office and get someone. Now, the reality is that with modern day life, with technology, actually, it's really easy to get requests for work to people. It's really easy to get information. You have telephones, you have broadband service, you have instant messaging, you have mobiles. It's really not a problem anymore. And in terms of control, if you think about the way most managers operate, they really aren't seeing all of their people all of the time. So if somebody works just outside your office, fine, but what about the people who work for you but are on the floor below or are in the building next door? And if you have a trust-based relationship, if you feel that you've set those people clear tasks, they have the right skills to do them, they know when they're required to be delivered, they know the values of your organisation and how you would deliver them, it really doesn't make any difference whether those people are outside your door, in the building next door, in their own living room. It really is a myth. And at BT, the evidence we have is that if you trust your people, if you give them the skills, if you give them clarity, and you set them free to deliver for you, they pay you back with productivity. We have average of 21% productivity gain. We have sick absence at the lowest levels ever. We have people staying with us. Our people turnover is just over 3% in an industry where it is normally much closer to 20%. So your people pay you back with loyalty, with productivity. There is such a clear business case for flexible working and for supporting the people in your workforce, so carers, lone parents, people with disabilities. Because let's just look at it this way. When you take people into your organisation, you invest in them, you give them training, you skill them. They become a vital part of your operations. They interface with your clients. And actually, for some clients, to take somebody out partway through a business relationship is very bad form and reflects badly on your business. So there's a real business case in terms of skills retention, in terms of customer satisfaction. But also, if you look at flexible working in its broader form, at BT, those 15,000 home-based workers, they save us on average £6,000 each per year in terms of accommodation costs. They give us about an additional £12 million of productive time per year because they give us their discretionary effort. They have, on average, less than 2 days sick absence a year. We all know how many billions of pounds sick absence costs industry every year. So there is an absolutely clear business case that's based on all of the things that businesses care about. Reduced costs, absolutely vital in a global economy and a fiercely competitive industry. Increased productivity, getting the best out of your people is essential to every business. Loyalty, which is fed back in customer satisfaction. Those are the vital ingredients of a sound business. Flexible working enhances your capability on all of those areas. That's the business case.
At BT, you go beyond just the workplace. You have a role in advocacy and in this group, Employers for Carers. Can you tell me something about Employers for Carers and going beyond the workplace?
Well, Employers for Carers initially was a group of like-minded employers who came together to share best practice on creating a great environment for carers because of that business case that we've just talked about. And because if you look at the increasing incidence of caring in pretty well every nation in the world, because we're all ageing populations, and because the incidence of disabled children living for longer is clear, so people are having caring responsibilities throughout their lives now. So that means that a larger and larger percentage of the available workforce is a carer. If you don't have an environment that carers can operate in, then you're saying that you can't employ those people, which is actually ludicrous for any business. So employers for carers came together to make sure that we weren't missing out on the skills and talents of that population.
How big is Employers for Carers? How many members do you have?
Employers for Carers has over 40 members now, and we represent literally millions of workers between us. It's really exciting because that means that we have a really loud voice with government. It means we can be advocates for great employment practice, and we speak to other employers, and we seek to engage them, we seek to make them aware of the issues, and we also have a great voice with government, with the policy makers, with the practitioners. We're working with local government to make sure that the local services that people need for the people they are caring for are available, because if they're not, then the carers can never access the world of work, no matter how flexible we are, because they will never put at risk a loved one that they are caring for.
And you have the power and the size and the impact to really be heard by government, don't you?
It is a trusted brand. Together, as part of Employers for Carers, with other trusted brands, we create a creditable voice for carers. We create a voice for business. We're talking about things that are absolutely critical in business. I mentioned the local services issue. If we don't have good local services universally available, it creates a labour mobility problem, because people have a good service, they will not move. So we are talking about two government issues that are absolutely landed directly in employers' gift to deal with. And we are also asking government to step up and provide the things that is absolutely in their gift. So in that sense, it's a great partnership. It's a private-public partnership, and it will make things happen. So it's absolutely essential.
And what does government need to provide as part of their partnership?
As part of that big partnership, government has to get the legislation right. And in the UK, they've done some fantastic things around a carers' rights bill, around extending the right to request flexible working to carers. But they also need to move to an agenda that really listens to carers, really understands what are the things that carers and the people they are caring for need in their daily lives. So be that shopping services, befriending services, cleaning services, so the more technical, caring, professional services. What are they? How can they be provided universally in an affordable way, in a sustainable way? Government has to look at matching the extended service provision to the extended working day that we see with people working different shifts, working weekends, all of those things. And the carer needs to have the choice enabled by government to work and to care.
Do you think New Zealand is at the stage or is this of the size or has the personalities, corporate or otherwise, to be able to do something like Employers for Carers in this country?
I'm new to New Zealand and I've been here just over a week and I've been so impressed, not just with the warmth of the people, but the openness to change and the real passion to have the debate. I've heard the minister today engaging with carers. I believe there is a real sense of purpose here. I honestly feel that if we can get Carers New Zealand, individual corporations to lend their brand to the argument and government to stand together, that New Zealand has a real opportunity, because it is a caring people. You have care, friendliness as part of your brand as a nation. You have all of the ingredients. You just have to get together and be determined. And I believe there's a real chance to do that now.
What about the issue of social isolation that carers already tend to be isolated to the caring role? Wouldn't this flexible working just reinforce that?
there is a possibility that a carer who becomes, say, a home-based worker could become isolated. There is no doubt about that, but as an employer, that's in your gift to make that work. At BT, we work really hard to make all of our home-based workers feel part of the BT team. They have constant access to their line managers, to their team members. They can use our technology to talk to them in lots and lots of ways. They can join virtual learning groups. We have a carers network so that they can be part of that. But remember, there are lots of different forms of flexible working. And for carers who want to get more social contact, we know how important the workplace is. There are so many benefits of working beyond just earning a salary. So it might be that that carer can come into a workplace, that they work part-time, or they work compressed hours, or they work some of the other forms of caring and flexibility that we've talked about, like time banking or annualised hours. There are lots of choices. It can be a way of actually creating more integration and having access to a network of carers who are also in employment.
It sounds almost from a traditional kind of worker-employer kind of paradigm. It sounds almost like a power shift. You know, the carers who are so used to feeling disempowered, that sounds very empowering for them. Does that cause any difficulties, or do you find that carers embrace it if they're given the opportunity?
Carers absolutely embrace flexible working. They absolutely embrace trust-based relationships if they get the opportunity. And, you know, in terms of, you imagine, if you have a very open and trusting relationship with your employee, if you set very clear standards of behaviour, of performance, if you're clear about what they need to deliver for you and the way they need to do it, that is an absolutely commitment-for-commitment relationship. You're being very straight with the carer, they are being very straight with you about your needs. That's a very adult-to-adult relationship. When you get relationships like that, power is evenly shared. In that environment, you get trust, you get productivity, you get loyalty. It really is a win-win. And actually, when you look at it on a broader level, it's also a win for society, because people who would otherwise not be able to work can work. People who would otherwise have to claim benefits can earn their own money. They can continue to learn. They can have choices. And the fact is that for many people, caring can come to an end. And whilst that is often the loss of a loved one, it does make it easier for them to pick up their lives again, to continue. You know, it's very difficult if you've dropped out of the labour market to come back in. But if you are still in the labour market and you've got that engagement, it's a great opportunity for you to pick up your life again.
And is it hard to do?
You know, introducing flexible working, looking after your carers, it's not expensive, it's not difficult, it's not disruptive, it's just good common sense.